Okay, now my next guest is a motivational speaker. He's an award-winning businessman. He's an entrepreneur and CEO of a globally recognised company. And he's achieved all of this with only a stick in his mouth. In 1997, Martin Brown was injured in a freak diving accident, which would render him paralysed from the neck down. In this week's My Amazing Life, Martin joins us to tell us his story in his own words and to describe how he journeyed the difficult road from adversity to triumph. Martin, welcome. What a pleasure to have you on the show.
Good morning, Sarah. Nice being here.
Yeah, really super. Really excited to have you on. Tell us, you were a very active young man growing up. Athletics, acrobatics, ballroom dancing. Tell us a little bit more about your childhood, your adolescence, and the type of young person that you were.
Extremely energetic. I think most probably Ritalin was invented for me to keep me calm, but it never worked. I was one of those guys that just loved being outdoors, sport, athletics, doing everything I could possibly do. And even the dangerous things and the more adventurous things, I absolutely loved challenging myself.
You studied medical engineering and then emergency medicine. So what was the life plan?
I studied mechanical engineering, yes. I almost like to invent new things. And, you know, as a child, you always take something apart that you just got and then try to put it back together again and it never works the same.
Mm.
Well, that was always intriguing. But when I got to a part of my studies where X equals minus 2, I just could not see the sense in that. Because it really doesn't make sense. Mm. Why does X always equal minus 2?
Mm.
But I changed to emergency medicine, which was my calling. You know, when you ever reach a job where you feel you can work, but you don't need to be paid.
Yeah.
Then you know you reach that job. And emergency medicine was that.
So there you were, this very, very active young man. You had a clear career goal set in place. You were sort of at the start of your life as a young man. And then something happened in December 1997 when you were on a break from your studies.
Yes. That's almost 23 years ago and a few months.
Mm.
It's quite a while, eh?
Yeah, what happened?
All of a sudden, just one day, I was at the Vaal River, close to Mirage. I dived off a normal boat jetty into the water just to cool down. It was about 31 degrees. There was a guy standing right next to the jetty, was chest deep in water. But about a meter and a half, 2 meters from him, there was a submerged sandbank and nobody saw it. And I hit the sandbank. And a person would think, a traumatic injury like that, you'll pass out and then wake up a few days later in hospital.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the truth. I was conscious. I heard the crack. It sounded like breaking a dry stick. And there I lay, face down, drifting in the water. I could hear my friends on the sandbank. I could hear them playing, and none of them saw me. I was slowly lifting to them and drowning. It was horrifying, really.
That is horrifying, and as you describe it, and very few of us will ever have that experience of staring death in the face. What is going through your mind in that moment? Is it like people say your life flashes before your eyes? What's happening in your brain at that time?
Well, the first thing, I had this medical training, so I knew I had to keep calm, mm-hmm. I had to keep my neck still, but then you've got these urges that push you, your necessity to breathe, your necessity to warn somebody to help you.
Mm.
And you have to fight the two forces against each other continuously. Well, this mental battle went on for a while, and I finally passed out. And somebody saw me and got me out of the water. I regained consciousness on a warm wooden jetty. I had this dripping mud and fermenting leaf smells in my nostrils. And from then on, I had to orchestrate my own emergency rescue.
If you're just joining us this morning, we are talking to Martin Brown, who has the most remarkable story. As we've just heard, in 1997, he was left able only to move his head following a freak diving accident. And it really was a freak diving accident. But as we will hear, he went on to head up a globally recognised company designing custom-made wheelchairs. So, Martin, there you are. You're lying on your back, as you say, on this wooden jetty. You presumably end up in hospital and you're given the diagnosis that you are paralysed.
Yeah, the diagnosis was quite a shock. You're lying in the trauma unit and the doctor walks past me and asks him, "Doctor, what's the chance?" Now, I've worked with these guys before.
Sure.
I've dropped off patients, they knew me, I knew them. And what he said to me was, as he walked out, you have a 1% chance of ever walking. That was it, and he left the room.
How does one, Martin, in hearing that news, and there you are lying there, and the day before, you are a young, athletic, healthy man with his future ahead of him. How does the brain process that? How does your spirit process that information? There's a 1% chance that you will walk again.
We all go through, I think the first stage is the curve of change that we all heard about.
Yeah.
The first one is denial.
Mm.
And that hit me. And I thought, I was denial straight through ICU. I said, well, it's just a dislocation, traction, it will come right, I'll walk out of here. And you constantly, that is so needed, because that builds you up to what's going to happen first. But you hit that denial stage, and then anger, and then regret, and depression, and suddenly you start realizing what went wrong, and then you start building your own curve. Forward. But it's not always a curve that you follow exactly. You're going to follow it, fall back a bit. Follow it, fall back a bit. Now, you need to make it as far as possible. Instead of falling back, you need to build yourself up again. And that's not always easy. It took me about 6 years.
In those six years, Martin, you must have got to some very, very dark, very, very dark places.
I did, yes, there are. You surely reached two dark places. Where you're constantly in your own mind, and you get this question, what if only?
Yeah.
Why didn't I go earlier? Why didn't I go later? Why didn't I go at all instead just stay home and finish my night shift and next shift? But you can't live in those questions.
How do you get to a point, and you said, you know, it's been 23 years and a couple of months since the accident, and that those first 6 years were very, very difficult. Do you get to a point where you stop asking yourself the what ifs and the if onlys, or do they just become less frequent?
They become less frequent.
Right.
They never stop. You even now, you get some days where you think, you know, if only it was just a little bit easier, then I can do it a little bit faster. But then you think, you know what? You still have the opportunity to do it. Even if you're doing it slower, you are still doing it. There are a lot of people out there just could have had a traumatic brain injury but cannot do it. So I can still provide joy in other people's lives.
Yeah.
I just do it differently.
Ah, that's beautiful. What was your first step in taking your power back and I suppose finding your purpose, finding your purpose in life in with the cards that you had been dealt? What was the first step? And then talk a little bit about where you are today, if you will.
So yeah, I would say it's almost like a teenager trying to get the independence.
Mm.
You had this injury that put you back in a hospital bed or in a bed, depending on other people. And now you have to find ways to do things in a new fashion and regain your independence. So mobility was very important. Controlling your computer is vital.
Mm.
That opens up the whole world. And that's how I started. I started a small little business designing one-page websites in 1998 using voice-activated software. And I taught myself how to program HTML code. And days it was frustrating because it would take me a whole day to maybe dictate a paragraph.
Sure.
And then you just get over it and your mic freezes and you have to call your mom to help you. And I realized I needed to get more independent.
Mm.
So finally, I got this most beautiful wheelchair sent to me from overseas, which took us 3 years to get the funds together for it. And when it arrived, the seating was incorrect and it had no battery. It's pretty useless for power wheelchairs to have no battery.
Yeah.
So we stripped the wheelchair and put batteries in, and when I saw it, I thought, you know what, I can do it better. How many other people are struggling with the same problem? Let's do it. And with a stick in my mouth in front of my computer, it took me 4 years to do the design, the marketing, the SWOT analysis, the business plan, and everything. And that's how the company Radical Mobility started.
And today, the company, as I said, this is a globally recognized company. And tell us about some of the chairs that you've made.
Ooh, we made. What the nice thing is about what we do is it's not production line work. So every single chair is unique to its user.
Mm.
So they can tilt backwards, they can lie flat, they can stand up, elevate up, they got front lights, rear lights, hazard lights, flicker lights, cell phone chargers. It's everything you want. Because remember, you're sitting in that chair 14 hours a day.
Yeah.
You need to be comfortable. You need to have all your creature comforts around you. So why not hold the wheelchair around the person instead of trying to put a person in a wheelchair? And that is how our whole moral about our company is. We engineer mobility for accessibility. So you choose your tire treads, your colors, your needs. Everything is based around you.
Do you feel that as somebody who uses a wheelchair that you are, I mean, really, who better than to design wheelchairs? Because you appreciate, as you say, this isn't, you're in a chair for 14 hours a day. You know what that's like. You can get into the mentality of somebody who's, of your client, of your customers, of your clients. Nobody better, I would have thought, to design custom-made wheelchairs.
Yes, I would agree with you there, but I also take a lot of advice from the occupational therapist, the physiotherapist, the patient itself, the patient's carers. You have to take into consideration all those aspects as a holistic view when designing and manufacturing a wheelchair for somebody. But we've done wheelchairs that accommodate 200 kilograms plus, and we've done wheelchairs for 7-year-old children. So there's a very broad spectrum. And especially when you work with wheelchairs that get exported, then you have to have a very close relationship with your client.
If you are just joining us this morning, we're chatting to Martin Brown about his incredible life story and his company, Radical Mobility. Martin was left only able to move his head following a freak diving accident in 1997. And he's talking to us this morning about his inspirational journey to the point at which he's at now. Martin, I have to ask, are you somebody who believes that we are put on this earth and each of us has an individual purpose, or do you not believe in that sort of thing?
No, absolutely not.
No.
I think, you know what, stuff happens. The way you deal with it is how you set your path.
Mm.
I don't believe that there was some master plan for me to break my neck and sit in a wheelchair.
Right, right.
But the way I handle it and the way I deal with it and still continue to help people out there is what actually defines my footprint that I leave in this world.
Yeah. Listen, it's been an awful 12 months for across the world, and people have felt and are feeling desperate. Do you have any words of inspiration or advice on keeping going, even when things seem hopeless?
No, but we've been through a very, very terrible time, and we're still going to go through a terrible time. What I can tell to people out there what to do is actually to step back and rethink. Don't try and be in the situation and solve the situation. It's time to step back and look at the problem, rethink, recreate, and then reinvent. Go back into it.
Mm.
And if you fail, then just retreat again and repeat. Don't try and be in the problem trying to solve the problem. You need to look at it from an outside perspective.
Mm. Mm.
And we need to continuously do it. It's not a one-time thing, yeah, you've got the answer. No, because there's going to be another stumbling block. I think stand up, step back, look at it, go back in. the most important part is going back in. I know it's extremely difficult, it's hard, it's easier to say these words, but the actions are even more difficult. But if you keep on trying, you can only succeed.
Inspirational words, Martin. It's been a real pleasure to have you on the show. We thank you so much for making time for us this morning and sharing with us your extraordinary story. You can find out more about Martin via his website, which is martinbrown.co.za, and also about the wheelchairs that he designs at radicalmobility.com. Martin, thanks ever so much for your time. A pleasure to have you on Weekend Breakfast.
Great, Sarah. Thanks. Nice being with you.